So this is a critical moment in the life of our country. This is a critical moment in the life of each of us. What do we do with all of the pain and anguish that is bursting forth on the streets of America from the voices of all the protesters here in our country and indeed around the world, triggered by the violent, brutal murder of George Floyd, but in consequence of event after event after event, similar. What do we do with all that? Where do we go from here? Well, that's what I was working on this week, and the answer, as I sort of see it, can be found in another question, a responding question. Where are we from? Where are we from? What's our origin story? What's the story at the beginning, at the core of our lives, at the core of our life together? If we can answer that question, where are we from, that could give us guidance to shape our lives and our steps in order to answer the other question, where do we go? And that way of framing this reality is at the heart of Genesis chapter 1, the great poem. You might imagine that this great poem was written by a poet sitting at a beautiful retreat center somewhere in a contemplative mode with a little fountain going, green birds, everything wonderful, because it just has that kind of feel to it. But that's not where or how this poem was written. It was written in the midst of crisis, a white hot crisis, a time, a critical moment in the life of the Jewish people. Their homeland had been destroyed in fire and death and destruction. They had been taken off into exile. Everything had been lost. Not just the stuff, not just the property, but their own minds and hearts. It was all coming apart at the seams. They were falling apart as a people. The people were losing their way because they had no way forward. They had no way to go. They were in exile in Babylon, the great city of Babylon, the great civilization of that time in the Mesopotamian world that had immense power, immense might, a world power. They were there in the midst of it, and the whole point of being there was so they would be absorbed into the empire, so their little cultural ways would all dissolve and go away. They would become part of the empire's story. The empire's origin story would become their origin story. So what was the origin story of the Babylonian Empire? Well, it was a story of brutality. It was a story of violence. The human divine relationships were all about this endless conflict, this endless struggle between humans and gods, and the gods and the gods, and the humans and the humans, all of them struggling endlessly for one to dominate, to control, to take from the other. Round and round and round they go. Violence was so much a part of the story, this hierarchical reality where it made a few at the top the winners and the many at the bottom the losers, until the losers lost enough and took everything over, and round it went again. A few win, many lose. This was written into the origin stories again and again in Babylon and in the Mesopotamian Valley. And the Jewish people there in the midst of it were tempted to disappear into that story. These stories of domination, of power, of greed. It was a critical moment for the life of the Jewish people. It could have just slipped by, and the Jewish people could have just disappeared because they could have just gotten sucked into, a few of them could have made it to the top, and the others would just be forgotten at the bottom. But overall, they would have just forgotten who they were, where they had come from. But it was at that moment, that very critical moment, that the poet, either an individual or a group, a movement of some sort, they came together at the center of a great protest. a great loud protest, a great effective protest. And they said to the Jewish people, enough is enough. This is not who we are. This is not who we shall become. We will not go down this road any farther. We have to change course. We have to change direction because we were created in love. We were created to be one, to be connected one with another, to care for one another. We were created to take responsibility for all of God's vulnerable creation, to take responsibility for all God's vulnerable people, to take responsibility one for another, because God is in us. We are created, we Jewish people, but all people are created to live interwoven lives and to be nourished by the gifts of life. We were not created to live in hierarchy, not created to live in domination, force, and greed. That was the poet's protest, and that's what that poem says. And so it shouldn't be read as sort of this lyrical, nice, easygoing poem. It has fire at the heart of it, confronting all of the false religion in the world, this human drive to dominate, to be full of greed, to use force to control. This poem says no to all of that. And that poem was so powerful and so effective that people woke up, the Jewish people woke up, they came to themselves, and they figured out in that extraordinary time they needed to do something new. And so they wrote a book, which we call the Bible. They said, we've got to put our tradition together in a book. We've got to remember who we are, because if we don't remember who we are and where we came from, we'll never find a way into the future. And so they created a book, and they put that poem at the beginning of the book because it had pride of place, because it said the whole book in one simple poem. And that's how they found their way into the future, because they remembered where they were from. Well, that was the reading for Trinity Sunday, and I didn't go off to the Trinity, but I love the fact that that's the poem, that's the passage that here for today, because it fits today, right now. Because the question I've been having all week is, which story does our society live by? Which story does our society live by? And don't be distracted by bullies in high places touting the Bible and acting as if it's their own turf, because it tells you nothing about what story they or we live by. Because as soon as you peel back the surface of this society and kind of quit being dreamy-eyed about it, we live in a society of hierarchy, of domination. That's so much of American history. Right now, we call it often income inequality. But that hierarchy is devastating to Black, Brown, Indigenous, and white communities all over this country. And the death rates among those communities are so much higher in this COVID crisis because of it. And just the fact that in our society, depending on what zip code you're in, you know, that people can tell, they can average that you'll live 12 years longer, 12 years less, if you live in this zip code or that zip code. That is the spirit of hierarchy that goes all the way back to Babylonia. And then racism, and then white supremacy, and then police brutality. All of the unarmed Black men and women killed, murdered, slaughtered in our streets. That story, that system, that just goes on and on and on, around and around, devastating, devastating. We human beings too easily slip into that story of domination, control, force, and greed, hoping that that stuff will be on the right side of all that stuff. But it's brutal. And it doesn't just hurt them, it hurts all of us. Just the whole point of the great poem in Genesis. It hurts all of us. we need a better story. We need a deeper story, which is what these protests at their heart are all about. You can get caught up in the looting and this, that, and the other, but at the heart of these protests that are just blossoming all over the world, you can hear enough. Enough is enough. We can't keep doing this to each other. Time to change course. Time to remember who we really are, where we came from. And so it's not hard for me to imagine Jesus walking in these protests. The great poet of Genesis 1 walking in these protests. Can we give pride of place to the spirit of these protests in our hearts, through our church, in our communities, and say together, yes, this is a moment of decision, and we choose life. The life that flows from the heart of God, who keeps saying to us, God keeps saying to us, walk alongside one another. Listen carefully to one another. Overcome the obstacles. Love deeply. Confront racism. Confront brutality. Say no to domination. Instead, open your hearts to the pain and the anguish so that we all feel it deeply enough so that transformation can come to us, to others, to our world. And then we hear the words of Jesus right there in the midst of the protest, in the midst of the COVID epidemic, the midst of all this mess. I am with you always, even to the end of the age. We are not alone in this. We are not alone in this. This deeper story has been part of our human story from the beginning. It's just we forget. And this is a time to remember. And so trusting that we are not alone, let us hear this message, sing our hymn, and gather for communion so that we find the nourishment we need to live a different kind of future in Christ. Amen.